Well, good evening, Harvest family. Boy, we're still asleep. Good evening. All right, you make your way in, have your seat, have a seat, and then we'll get started here in just a moment. It's so good to have the West Coast team traveling for us. We want to give them plenty of time, so what we're going to do, and if I don't mess it up, what we're going to do here is we're going to have one congregational song, and then they're going to come and sing three for us, and then Brother Josh is going to come and tell a little bit about the table, about the school. And then I'm going to come back, and we'll take up our Sunday evening offering. And then we're going to have another set of the ladies singing. And then Brother Josh will come back again and preach for us. And you're welcome to do a few more. Just watch the clock if you're on time or find that. But we're looking forward to hearing the music. Please make sure you get by and say hello to them. If you didn't come early enough to talk to them, they have a display table set up with books and music. And be patient. In about 6 or 8 weeks, they're going to be polished. But we're fortunate enough to have them only on their second church visit of this tour. So lots of smiles and lots of amens and good job and all that good stuff, amen? And they'll have another meeting. They'll be in a Christian school tomorrow. And then they're traveling on Tuesday south for another meeting. And then, of course, they're going to be very busy for the next several weeks. So we'll remember to keep them in prayer. All right, speaking of prayer, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's go ahead and stand together and remain standing after we pray. We'll have a congregational song. And then let's our guests come and encourage us and worship with us, Lord, as they lift their voices in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing and the joy of fellowship. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in a place, Lord, though it may be warm and dry outside. We have a nice, comfortable seat and air conditioning on the inside. And tonight, an opportunity to worship and fellowship with some young people from West Coast. Lord, help us to be a blessing and encouragement to them. Pray that you'd use them to be a blessing and encourage us as they minister to us through song and preaching of the word later, Father. Now bless our time together, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just remain standing, if you would.
Amen. Opening hymnal number 243. 243, I am resolved. 243. First and last verses.
I am resolved no longer.
Good evening. We are the Voices of Praise Trio from West Coast Baptist College. My name is Alan. I'm a senior from Cerritos, California, and I'm studying evangelism.
Hi, my name is Trista Solis. I'm from Mission, Texas, and in the fall, I'll be a sophomore studying elementary education.
Hello, my name is Delijah Perez. I'm currently a senior studying missions from Ogden, Utah, and at the piano is Elianette Perez. She is a senior studying secondary education from Tucson, Arizona.
God is worthy, worthy of praise, worthy of glory, so I'll bless his name, and his mercies are new every day. With all of my heart, soul, and strength I will say, God is worthy, worthy of praise. Before the foundation of earth was laid, God was worthy of praise. When he spoke the word and the world was framed, God was worthy of praise. Through the ages, true and changeless, with all nations I proclaim, God is worthy, worthy of praise, worthy of glory. so I'll bless His name, and His mercies are new every day. With all of my heart, soul, and strength, I will say, God is worthy, worthy of praise. When Calvary's blood made atonement for sin, God was worthy of praise. When the tomb was empty and death could not win, God was worthy of praise. I will honor my Redeemer, and forever I'll proclaim, God is worthy, worthy of praise, worthy of glory. So I'll bless His name, and His mercies renew every day. With all of my heart, soul, and strength, I will say, God is worthy, worthy of praise. Omnipotent and holy, He reigns upon His throne. Yet His great unending love claims me as His own. All of my heart, soul, and strength, I will say, God is worthy, worthy of praise. With all of my heart, soul, and strength, I will say, God is worthy.
Jesus. cross will speak for me. The blood of Jesus will speak for me. When I'm standing at the throne, I have merited nothing to stand there on my own. I have only one claim, only one plea. The blood of Jesus will speak for me. The blood of Jesus will speak.
Asking you to wait, but here in the silence, keep holding on to faith. 'Cause the God I know can still move mountains. The God I know still calms the raging sea. He holds you safely in his arms, and he won't let go. That's the God I know. Our God is always near to those who call upon his name. And he said that he'd be with us when we're walking through the flame.
So tell your heart to trust him. In this moment, give him praise.
Lift a hallelujah, 'cause he will make a way. The God I know can still move mountains. The God I know raging sea. He holds you safely in his arms, and he won't let go. That's the God I know. I've seen him move so many times before. And if there's one thing I know for sure,
so much, Harvest Baptist Church, for having us here, and we're so glad to be here with y'all tonight. I want to thank y'all for the kindness and the hospitality that y'all have shown us. Y'all have just been such a kind people. I want to thank Pastor Cook for just already being so kind to our group and being so responsive to my texts and calls. Thank you for that, sir. And I also want to thank Pastor Cook for his courage to come out here. I know he just kind of newly transitioned to his role here. Thank you for showing us what it's like to live by faith and coming out here to pastor this church. Just real quick, I wanted to emphasize our table in the back with some of the college stuff for you to grab if you're interested. We do have some CDs back there. This CD specifically, You Will Reign, it has one of our YouTube songs, Nothing Ever Can, Nothing Ever Will on it, and I think it's our second most viewed song. So if you're interested in a CD, there's just $10 each, and if you get four, we'll do a little deal for you. If you were to buy four, we would throw one in for free. And then I wanted to point out a few books. This is our pastor, Pastor Paul Chappell's newest book. He just finished this last November, I think it was, or September. This is just a book on how to deal with hardships and trials in the Christian life, how to find resiliency in your walk with God. I would definitely encourage this book right here. This is another book, Are We There Yet?, by our pastor, Paul Chappell, and his wife. I do hear some laughing, so I know this has been a help to my wife and I. We had to read this in college, and I think it's paying off now. So she might be shaking her head over there. But no, this is just a little book on marriage, and it's called A Perfect Journey for Imperfect Couples. So this will definitely be a help for you if you're interested in something like that. I wanted to point out just real quickly two devotionals we have. These are for ladies, and these are by Mrs. Gibbs. She isn't directly associated with West Coast, but we buy these from the Christian Law Association, and we just know that these are a help. First of all, they're very aesthetically pleasing, right? So a good start to your morning, and just very practical truths to help you kind of get started on your day. So if you're interested, we sell one for $15 and then two for $25. We have a little special there. Please, if you have any questions, I think I left a brochure I needed on my seat, but we have online classes too at West Coast if you're interested in just furthering your education in God's Word and getting a good foundation there, or if you're interested in your master's possibly to kind of take your education in God's Word to the next step. We have one in Bible and one in education as well. So if you're interested in any of the stuff, please stop by the table. We'll be there. If you'll have any questions, we would love just to say hi and just to talk to you if you're interested in any books. At this time, I think we're going to prepare for the offering. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, yeah, so let's just have them stand up and reemphasize their name. So first of all, I'm Joshua. I am originally from Fort Worth, Texas. This is my wife. She's from Indiana. And we are so glad to be here with you. And all right, so I think at this time we're good for the offer. Perfect.
Probably when I stepped out to check on something and I missed it. That's all right. Gentlemen, if you come this evening, if we get ready for our evening giving tonight, gentlemen. All right. Thank you for your faithfulness of being here tonight. Continue to pray for these young people. And if you were not able to give this morning, of course, we have another opportunity tonight to give. And I thank you for your blessing and your willingness to give and make sacrifices here for Harvest Baptist Church. Brother Allman, will you please ask God's blessings on the offering?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday you've provided for us. And we just give you thanks, Lord, and we give you honor and glory for Harvest Baptist Church and for all the each and every member of this church. We just pray you'd be with each one of them. And Lord, a special treat tonight. We have West Coast Baptist Church school children here, kids here, that's going to bless our hearts with some awesome singing. They already have. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would touch the lives of each one of these young people and just fill them with your spirit. And as they praise you through song, we will be honored here at Harvest by them. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that you would bless our offering and our tithes. Lead, guide, and direct each thing that this church does. We just want to honor and glorify your name, for it's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Heal the sick, nor cause the blinded eyes to see. A sinner's empty soul I cannot save.
I am nothing more than what the Lord has given me, and through His grace alone I boldly say, God can, and He will. And move the mountains all and speak the waters still. If you believe, you will see that everything impossible will soon be possible. God can, and He will. Lord, I fall down.
to my knees, knowing you are there to carry on. I received your love and mercy undeservedly. In my every weakness, you are strong. God can, and He will. He can move the mountain still and speak the water still. If you believe, you will see that everything impossible will soon be possible. God can, and He will. No matter the task, no matter the hour, He will supply. He knows our needs, He knows our everything, and He will provide. God can, and He will. Move the mountains tall and speak the waters still. If you believe, you will see that everything impossible will soon be possible. God can, and He will.
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 I've heard it all my life, even had it memorized, but it was only words to me. Red letters on a page, just something people say, till it brought me to my knees. Those words in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son away, away to save a wretch like me. Me, the one who needed grace, grace to cover every stain, stains that He no longer sees. It's amazing to believe that God so loved the world means even me.
How could He see my sin and forgive me even then? Who would pay that kind of price?
I've seen what mercy does. He found me where I was,
and He gave His life for mine. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son away, away to save a wretch like me. The one who needed grace, grace to cover every stain, stains that He no longer sees. It's amazing to believe that God so loved the world means even me. Me with all my failures, me with all my shame, it's the very reason Jesus came. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son away,
a way to save a wretch like me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son away, a way to save a wretch like me. Me, the one who needed grace, grace to cover every stain, stains that he no longer sees. It's amazing to believe, it's so amazing to believe that God so loved the world means even me. God so loved the world means even me.
His strength is perfect when
Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 is where we'll be tonight. Thank you, Pastor Cook, for the opportunity to sing and preach. I was hoping I'd get to hear Pastor Cook, but unfortunately tonight, y'all are just stuck with me. So, thankfully, we'll be preaching from the same book. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. And if you're there, we're just going to start with the first four verses. If you go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. The Bible says this in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. I just want to preach a short sermon tonight on a church known by love, a church known by love. Let's take a second and open with prayer. Lord, we thank you for promising us your power and your word, Lord, that your word is so powerful that when it goes forth, it just changes things. Lord, I pray that every heart in this room tonight would examine themselves in this very moment, Lord, and ask you to search them, ask you to try them. And Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, Lord, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, and shape us and mold us into a little bit more like you. God, we thank you for this time to open your word. Pray that you would bless it. It's in your Holy Son's name that we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. What we find here in Colossians is a book roughly written around 60 AD. This obviously would have been about 30 years or so after the death of Christ. So the New Testament church is kind of making its way. It was written, obviously, to the church, we see it, of Colossae there in verse 2. Many commentators and theologians believe that the Apostle Paul actually never even visited this church. So he was just writing to this church to encourage them. And we kind of get that impression from the fact that he speaks so much to things that he's heard about the church. And what we'll emphasize on tonight is verse 4. Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. It was a church known by love. What we see here is, in the theme of Colossians, is overwhelmingly Christ. And there is no small amount of verbiage and doctrine and just writing given to doctrines of Jesus Christ. And he's essentially encouraging this church to stay on the straight line. And obviously, what we see in verse 4 is that, yes, this is a church that's known for their faith, but it's a church that's known for its love one for another and to the city around them. In fact, this love goes so far that it's not even just the whole church that's known by love, but it's individuals within the church. We see in Philemon, later in the Bible, who is actually a part of this church. Paul says this in Philemon, verse 3, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in prayers, hearing of thy love in faith. So it's a church, not just a church as a whole that's known by love, but people within the church that are known for their love one for another. So tonight, I just want to take a step back as a church, and I want us to examine three essential steps to be known by love by those around us. What we'll see, number one, is we need to remember our hope. Remember our hope. We see this in verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let me ask you a question tonight. What is your hope? What is your hope? I think we hear that word tossed around a lot, right? Hope. And when we kind of think of a definition, we think of a lot of different things. What I want to contrast tonight is the difference between worldly hope and a biblical hope. A worldly hope is just something you desire, right? Something you want, something you wish for. We see this a lot in kids, right? I have a one-year-old in the nursery tonight. I don't hear any crying, so I think he's doing well. That's good, right? He doesn't desire a lot of things right now except food, maybe a toy. When he's really grumpy, you know he wants a nap, but sometimes we try to put him down and he doesn't sleep. But we see hope a lot in kids, right? Especially around Christmas time maybe or their birthday when they desire something. I know for me, I have a baby face and I am very young, I know. It was always Legos. And if I didn't get Legos for my birthday or Christmas, that was a bad holiday for me. So I know I was very carnal and worldly. But that's the difference of a worldly hope, right? A biblical hope is much different. It's not just this wish or this desire for something. A biblical hope is a confident expectation. We can have a confident expectation as Christians. And what we see here in the text is that the church here in Colossians, they had a biblical hope. They had a confident expectation. The fact is, we have the same confident expectation as them, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our hope, he's called. He is our confident expectation. We know in Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Even the very matter of our faith is based on what we hope in. And the fact is that if you're a Christian in here tonight, if you're a saint, if you called on Jesus Christ to save you, you're putting your hope not just in him, but on him. Because Christ is our expectation. The fact that, right, he died for us. The fact that he saved us and he washed us from our sins. And we'll have home and eternity with him. Our confidence and our hope is in the Lord. And it's grounded in him. It's that foundation, that expectation we have, that grounds our actions today. So, I want us to look at three reflections tonight, just to remind ourselves of what our hope is in. First of all, we know that we can be confident in our salvation. We can be confident in our salvation. See this in Romans 10:12, right? A clear promise from God. He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a promise, right? That is our expectation. If we call on the Lord, we'll be saved. Our hope is in our salvation. We can be confident in our salvation. We can be confident in our supplier. We see this in Matthew 6:26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And we obviously know in Matthew 6:33, right, that God supplies our needs. We see this in Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Time and time again, the Bible emphasizes, it declares that God will meet our needs. And he'll take care of us. And he'll make sure that we're good. Christ is our sufficiency. We can have confidence in our supply from God. And we can also be confident in our Savior. This would be number three. We can be confident in our Savior. In this one, I know the other two are so practical, right? Salvation and God meeting our needs. But this one ought to be the most dear to us, right? Because we could have a Savior that's aloof, that's far off when he saves us. But Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said," right? That's God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We know that the God who died to save us wants to be with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to give us abundant life. He wants to walk with us so that we can have joy and satisfaction in the life we live. He's promised to never leave us. It's God's promises to be with us. In obviously Hebrews 13:5, and he points out that it's our mindset. The covetous and envious are not people known by love. They're not known for giving gifts. To be known by love, we must be a people. We must be Christians who are confident that God will fulfill his promises to us. So, right, we see these three great promises from God. Right, he's our salvation. He is our sufficiency. He is our Savior. And this hope, this confident expectation that this is what God promised, so this is how I'm going to act. That is the basis, the very foundation for our love. But what's the next step tonight? We see next that we ought to regularly listen to the gospel. We ought to regularly listen to the gospel. Paul wrote this, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans 1, verse 15. He says, "So, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." I think we all probably know the next verse, Romans 1, 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Isn't that kind of odd, right? Paul's writing in Romans to a church. He knows he's writing to saints, but he says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. He wasn't talking about the city. He was talking about the saints. It's because the Apostle Paul knew that Christians need to hear the gospel again and again. What exactly is the gospel? We know it as, right, the life, the burial, the death, or the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? We know it as the good news, the fact that God himself humbled himself and became man so that he might die and take on our sin so that we could not go to hell like we deserve, but spend eternity with him in heaven. That's the gospel. One author put it this way, the Christian gospel is that I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me, yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. The gospel is displayed through the church nowadays. The church is God's method of bringing the gospel out to our world. That's why we need to remind ourselves of it. We need to remind ourselves that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, right? We need to remind ourselves of that regularly so that we can act in love, so that we know God so loved us, I ought to so love everyone else around me, everyone I come into contact with. Although I love the way the Apostle Paul puts this in Romans 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Commendeth, right? That just means to prove, to show. God proved his love for us by dying for us. And that fact alone, Paul also mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." It compels us. It drives us. "Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead." It's those two truths. The fact that Christ died for us, and because he died for us, we ought to do everything we can to be the ambassadors for Christ that we should. And we can't be effective ambassadors, we can't be effective witnesses if we don't love those around us. We need to be driven by God's love for us. And if we let God's love drive us, loving others will be no problem. And it won't matter what they say to us, because nothing somebody can do to us is worse than what we've done to God. And if we recognize that, if we recognize we've fallen short of a holy God and he forgave us so we can love others, we're one step closer to being a Christian, a church, known by love. So what drives you tonight? Is it your guilt to love others? Your need, maybe, to feel validated and wanted when you love others? Or is it the fact that God himself gave us the example and wants us to love as he loves? The truth is, our love for others will have to flow out of our relationship with God. We can't love people if we feel guilty for them, or if we feel like we have to love them. That's not going to last us long. But if we'll base our foundation of love in the gospel, in the good news, loving others will be no problem because God has been so good to us. I think we've all heard many Christians say, and maybe even many preachers say that, hey, the gospel changes lives. And it's true, right? God can change our lives. But do our actions prove that statement? Do we really believe the gospel changes lives? Because if we really believe that, we have to live like that. And if we live like that, we're going to witness to people. We're going to share a tract to those we come into contact with at a grocery store or a gas station. We're going to act loving toward others. Because if God showed us the example, and I believe that God changes lives, I'm going to do everything I can to let people know about the love of Christ. So we saw two steps. First, that we can remember our hope. We can listen to the gospel on a regular basis. But tonight we'll look at and just examine the last essential step to be known by love. And it's going to be we can reflect on the spiritual fruit of others. We can reflect on the spiritual fruit of others. We see this in verse 6 and verse 7. The Bible says, which has come unto you, as it is, and he's talking about the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7, as you have also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So the Apostle Paul, he commends them for their faith, for their love, and he mentions some specifics. And then he mentions Epaphras. He says, as you have learned of Epaphras. Well, who exactly is Epaphras? We see he's only mentioned briefly, and really just three times in the New Testament, twice in Colossians and once in Philemon. We know that he was a believer at the church here. We don't really know his role. Kind of in the text, it could allude that he planted the church here in Colossae. But what we know is this, right? We don't know all the details for sure. We know that he was a leader in the church and that he was identified specifically by Paul as a man of strong prayers. He was a man who served. He was a servant. And he was a minister. He was a man who showed his love to this church in his leadership. I think we all have people, right, that we can think about or have like fond memories of, people who have invested in us. Maybe it was a boss who gave us a bonus, and that action showed us that boss cared for us. Maybe it was a friend who helped us move or something and showed us that they cared for us. I think we all have moments that we can even think back of right now and kind of place a finger on those points where people proved that they cared for us. I think we know this the most when somebody fulfills our needs, right? Whether it's moving or it's an emotional need and we need some counseling and some advice, or maybe it's a financial need that maybe a friend or our parents help out with. The truth is, when we show our love to others, that is the time that we can influence people the most. That's the time that we can make an impact for Christ. What we see here with Epaphras and what the Apostle Paul is referring to is not all of us have the same strengths and skill sets, right? There are people who are meant to or are skilled enough to work, right, with the sound with the church, and people who are skilled enough to work with leading the singing. I myself am not one of those people, and if y'all heard me sing, y'all would probably call our group right back up because it would not be good, and we would need a nice break from that. I know for me, one of my great weaknesses is needles. I know there's like an actual phobia for it. I'm not scared of needles, but my body sure does seem to think so. When I go to get a shot or my blood drawn, and it's not the needle that does it, but it's once my body feels as punctured. Man, I just lose all control. And I remember the last time I gave blood, it was about a year and a half ago, and it was just for a blood test. I can't even like donate blood because of how bad I am. I just get so squeamish. The nurse kind of put me back in the chair. They asked if I'd be all right. I'm like, yeah. I was like, I'm just going to be strong this time. It'll be great. And I was sitting pretty upright. And she like took the blood, and I just instantly started to get woozy, right? So I just kind of leaned back. She was like, are you okay? She saw me get all flush and pale. I was like, yeah, I could just really use some water. So I'm there. I think the chair slightly leaned back. She gave me the water. I'm like barely able to open the bottle, and I just go to drink it, and it spilled all over me. So when we talk about strengths and weaknesses, needles are not my strength. And I'm sure many of us in this room could testify. But when it comes to acting out and acting like our Savior, many of us in this room have weaknesses in some area. Maybe you're not as good as just being instantly engaging with somebody, but maybe you're great at being hospitable for somebody and making some food and bringing some gifts, right? Whereas other people in this church might need to grow in that area. But maybe you have some strengths that other people don't. But what Paul is saying here is that we can learn from everyone around us. We can learn from Christians and watch and observe how they act and how they care for people so that we can know, not how to be like so-and-so or to be as nice as so-and-so, but so how we specifically so we can learn how to be like Christ and so we can better embody Jesus Christ, the one who died to save us. The Bible says this, 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God asks us to prove his commitment to us in our actions. And if he says, if you don't love, you don't truly know me, because I am love. Is there somebody today that we can visit, that maybe we can do something nice for? Maybe that we can write a note or a card or send a text or bring a meal. Is there somebody today, and maybe they're already popping up on your mind, somebody that you can go out of your way to show the love of God to? So, what are you known by? Are you known by love? I'm sure there are many in this church, as there are with our group, even from West Coast Baptist College, there are those known by their passions, right? Maybe your passion's football or photography or golf or something like that. And those are okay, right? God gave us those things to enjoy. He gave us life to enjoy. But at the end of the day, are we known by love? Are we known for our care for those around us? So great was the love of these saints that even though the Apostle Paul hadn't been there, he heard of their love. Harvest Baptist Church, what are you known by? Do people feel welcome to come and visit the church anytime? If everyone at Harvest Baptist Church, and this is a deeply impactful question to me, if everyone at Harvest Baptist Church was as loving as you are, how loving would Harvest Baptist Church be if everybody was as loving as you? Tonight, we saw three quick truths on how to be known by love, right? We need to remember our hope, regularly listen to the gospel, and reflect on the spiritual fruit of others. I hope you'll take some of these truths tonight and apply them in your own heart so that as a church, Harvest Baptist Church can go forward in this year as a church that is known in Goodyear, as a church that loves people, and a church that, maybe they don't phrase it this way, but this is what we would say, that embodies the love of Christ, and that shows people the very love that we know from our Savior. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed, and we'll start with the invitational. As we think upon this, known by love, I know for me, there were some people in my mind tonight that I need to write to, that I need to shoot a text and call this week. I would encourage you, if one of these